The Bible said here in the book of Genesis, chapter number 2 and verse number 25. Well, let's just read in verse 21. And the Bible said, I'm going to back up to verse 20. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. And the Bible said here that he made a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife." I believe that's the Bible way, don't you? "And they shall be one flesh." Now notice verse 25. The Bible said, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." I want to pray just a moment. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege to be here tonight in the house of the Lord. God, I need your help. You know I do. I can't do anything without you. God, it is in my heart to be a blessing to your people tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd just bless me that I might be a blessing. Lord, I sense tonight that there are some people, Lord, here tonight who have heavy hearts and carrying heavy burdens. I pray tonight, Lord, that something might be said, Lord, that would help them with their load a little along the way. Thank you, God, for each one that's gathered tonight here at the Bible Way Baptist Church. Lord, add your blessings to the service, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Miss Steve. Appreciate that, honey. It's all right. Thank you. Here in the Bible, we start off in the garden with a God that's holy and a man that has a great need. He needs him a wife. The Bible said the man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. My grandfather said it like this. He said, "If God made anything any better than a woman, he kept it for himself." Amen. I believe Adam was thrilled to death when he woke up, don't you? I was reading today about, I don't know where I was reading about it at. If it was at the hospital or in my office on the internet, but it was about a laser surgery that they do. And this lady's testimony, she said that when I came out, it's a non-invasive surgery. They just make a little scar in your back, a little cut, and they go in there and trim some things up. And boy, she was bragging on how it was so good to be without pain. And I believe Adam thought it was really, really good when he woke up and he had this woman. And the Bible makes it plain here that they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So here's the state of not being ashamed. You say, how would that relate to us at all? There was a time in our life when we weren't ashamed. We didn't care if we had a diaper on or not. Say amen. Amen. We really didn't. And we didn't care if we were clothed or if we were streaking across the front yard, or it just didn't matter. Amen. And there was a time in our life when we really didn't know what sin was, even though we were conceived in iniquity. There was a time in our life when we didn't have that burden on us. We weren't worrying about where food was going to come from. We weren't worried about paying the bills. We weren't worried about all that. I believe this was a wonderful time in Adam and Eve's life. But the Bible tells us here, I'm giving you some things. And first of all, this thing, not ashamed, ashamed, and not ashamed, it has to do with a blessing. It started with God. It started with God blessing a man with his wife, blessing a man with a perfect environment, a sinless environment, blessing a man with his presence. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And it's a blessing. It has to do with a blessing. But then we go right into chapter number 3, and I'm not going to read much in that chapter. I found another place I'm going to read, but we see that it has to do with a blessing. Why the blessing? Because there's no sin. Don't forget that. Through this whole message, don't forget that. Because we're going to end up right where we started with no sin. Yeah. Amen? You'll get that after a while. But it's starting with no sin, and it has to do with a blessing. But now it has to do with brokenness. Now here comes the ashamed part. He said, "Preacher, how do you know Adam and Eve were ashamed?" Well, the Bible said they made themselves apron of fig leaves, and they went and hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. You know, one thing I found out about the Lord, you can't hide from Him. Amen. God didn't ask the question to Adam, "Where art thou?" so God would know where Adam was. God asked the question so Adam would know where Adam was. And it has to do with the brokenness. There was no sin in the blessing. And the brokenness comes as a result of sin. They hid themselves. The Bible said, "Wherefore, as Romans 5:12, as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so that death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I believe there's a brokenness that comes with that. I've never really magnified this scripture in my heart, but when I read it, it's a perfect example of what I'm talking about here, the brokenness as a result of sin. In Ezra chapter 9 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations.'" Even, now listen, think about America while I'm reading this. The Bible said here, "Even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and I plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and I sat down astonished," or astonied. "Then were the assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the Lord God of Israel." There was still a remnant that feared the Lord. "Because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. At the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, Ezra said, 'I fell upon my knees, I spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens.'" Here comes a man that's ashamed of the condition that the nation had gotten itself into, ashamed of the condition that these folks were living in. He said, "Since the days of our father, we've not been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities, we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity." Can I tell you something right now? America's gotten too big for her britches. Amen. And I'm telling you right now, we can think we can just blow this in the face of God, but it's not going to work. Amen. There's going to come a brokenness in this country because of sin as well. Amen. The Bible said here, "I'm ashamed and blush." When's the last time you saw anybody blush? Think about that for just a minute. You say, "Preacher, what's going on in the country?" I'll tell you what's going on. We're being desensitized to what God calls his sin. The Bible said here, and now for... Watch this, please, please watch this. In verse number 8, he said, "And now for a little space, grace." Glory to God. I like to preach on that sometime. For a little space, grace. Amen. He said, "For a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. for we were bondmen. How many remembers when we were bondmen? Amen. The Bible said, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. It has to do with the blessing. There was no sin. Ashamed. And then it has to do with the brokenness in the result of sin. But now, I want to give you some things tonight. This is really the heart of the message right here and the thrust of the message. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It blessed my heart. How does a person go from being not ashamed, a day when we were just carefree, amen, happy, amen, and our biggest worry is whether there was enough chocolate in our milk, amen, and how do you go from that to a place of vileness, a place of sin and degradation? You say, how does it happen, preacher? Well, I guess maybe sometime or another, Brother Pritchard, the devil might stop and ask himself the same question. I have made. But something called pride rose up in him. And he said, I'm going to set my throne above his throne. Can I tell you something about America? We're not going to set our throne above his throne. And how does it get from a place of not ashamed like they were in the garden to a place of ashamed like they were when they were expelled from the garden lest they would eat of the tree of life and live forever to a place now? I tell you, I can't wait to show you all these places where God said, not ashamed again. Amen? First of all, you say, preacher, what's it have to do with in this last not ashamed? It has to do, number one, with a believer. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. In the blessing there was no sin. In the brokenness it was a result of sin. But it has to do with the believer that's experienced the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. Years ago I heard the song Brother Leonard Fletcher wrote, not ashamed to stand and say that I love Jesus. Not ashamed to say I'm trusting in His Word. Not ashamed to lift high the blood-stained banner. Because He saved me, I'm not ashamed. Amen. Thank the Lord tonight we can get back to this place of not ashamed. The Bible said, in hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. I was looking at that the other day. I hope I'm not getting ahead of myself the way the Lord might be leading in the future. That shed abroad means poured out. Glory to God. He poured out, amen, His love in our hearts when He saved us by the grace of God. I talked to a man the other day. He said, how in the world could I ever forgive him? I said, you can't without Jesus. Hallelujah. But I tell you, you get Jesus in there. You can't only forgive them. You can love them. You can pray for them. Amen. You can want them to see them have Jesus in their heart too. It has to do with the believer. As it is written, Romans 9:33. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Romans 10:11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. In Joel 2:26, listen to this, the Lord said, and ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have a little bit of problem in my crawl, according to Scripture. People that on the street are ashamed of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. We should never be ashamed. Listen to what the Bible said here. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You know that whosoever, that means all of us that have believed are not ashamed. I can think of a lot of things I'm ashamed of. Amen? But I tell you what, I'm not ashamed of Him. I'm not ashamed of His gospel. I'm not ashamed of what He's done in my heart and in my life. And I'm not ashamed of the forgiveness of sin that I experienced when I met the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I want you to think about this tonight. Not only does it have to do with a believer, I believe this kind of goes with the service tonight, but it has to do with a burden, the load of sin. You see, it not only has to do with the forgiveness of sin and the believer, but it has to do with the load of sin, a burden. You say, preacher, where did you get that? Watch this now. Hey, how many's got carrying a burden tonight? Amen. You know, the song's still right. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. It's still right. Amen. At Calvary. At Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Listen to what the Word of God said in Psalm 34:5. It said, they looked unto Him and were lightened, and their face was not ashamed. Amen. I tell you tonight, God wants us, listen, not just in salvation to look to Him, to have the burden of sin lifted, but whatever burden we're carrying tonight, we can look unto Him and have our face lightened and come out of there not ashamed. Amen. Proud of the Lord and proud of what He's doing. I'll tell you something tonight. I believe with all of my heart that as the day of the coming of our Lord draws nigh, the loads are going to get heavier. And we better realize that God made us a place to unload them. Amen. We need to lay our burdens at the feet of Jesus. Amen. You want to know the difference between worrying, amen, and being concerned? I remember years ago the Lord showed me, the Bible said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Let me tell you something right now. That worry just frets and wrings its hand and says, what are we going to do? How are we going to do? We'll never be able to do. But concern takes it to the Lord and leaves it there. Amen. How many of y'all are facing some situations in your family with your friends that you have no control over? And to tell the truth, you can't help it. Say amen. There's not one thing you can do to help it, but thank God you can talk to the one who can. He's the one who can help it. It has to do with burdens and the load of sin, not ashamed. You see, a lot of people, listen to me carefully tonight. A lot of people, when they get saved and their load is lightened, how many knows I'm telling it right? Say amen. Remember when God lifted that load off of you? But a lot of people, when they get to walking with the Lord and they realize, hey, there's a cross to carry in this walk. And that load begins to get a little, and the first thing you know, they're looking around and say, well, I didn't get in it for this. Amen. A lot of people, when the suffering comes, they run, they turn away. Oh, we hadn't ought to do that. Amen. We hadn't ought to be ashamed of that. Amen. Let me give you some things tonight. It has to do with the believer, the forgiveness of sin. It has to do with the burden, the load of sin. But watch this. It has to do with the Bible and victory over sin. I'm talking about this last state of not ashamed. Amen. We're not ashamed and we were ashamed. And now we're not ashamed. It has to do with the Bible. Victory over sin. Listen to what the Word of God said in Psalm 119 and verse number 80. He said, let my heart be sound in thy statutes that I be not ashamed. In Psalm 119 and 6, the Bible said, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Psalm 119 and verse number 116, uphold me according to thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Can I say tonight, there's victory in the word of God. The Bible said in 1 John chapter number 5, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And then he said, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. I'll just say this tonight. The disciples asked for an increase in their faith. Anybody here besides me could stand a little bit of that? Well, let me tell you where it's going to be increased. Right there. In the word of God. Right there. In the Bible. Amen. I believe that we have an anemic society because it's a Bible-less society. Amen. If we got back to the Word of God, I remember several years ago there was a memorial service, and Gabby Giffords and several got shot out there, and I'm not for that. I'm against that. It was terrible. It was tragic. But I tell you what, it just rubs me the wrong way when you pull the Bible out when it's convenient. You ought to just pull it out all the time. Amen. Don't just pull it out when you're looking for comfort in words. Amen. Pull it out when you're looking for, should we pass this law or not? Amen. Pull it out. The Word of God. Not ashamed. You know what we need? We need some senators that are not ashamed. We need some representatives that are not ashamed. We need some judges that are not ashamed. We need a president that's not ashamed. And a vice president that's not ashamed. That's what we need. Amen. I'll just go ahead and say it like this. We need some preachers that are not ashamed. I was in Gatlinburg a few years back. Pigeon Forge, actually. And I believe the man's name is George Yontz. That actually passed away while we were in this service. We were down there in Dollywood, and somebody from the church had given us tickets. It was at gospel music. Is it a month or a week that they have gospel music? Whenever it was, Brother Dennis, I was sitting under that pavilion, my wife and I. And I tell you what, they got to singing some of them good old gospel songs. And you know what I did? Same thing I'd have done if I was sitting right there on the front bench in Bible Way. I rejoiced in the Lord. Amen. And you know, it didn't really dawn on me too much that maybe I was the only one making any noise. But I tell you what did dawn on me, Brother Arnold. When that service was over, and see, we got in a little bit late, and people started getting up and turning around, and there's a bunch of preachers in there. God help us if we can't rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Oh, you say you got to be in church to that. You need to tell somebody else that. Say amen. I was sitting in a deer stand one morning reading my New Testament. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. It's 9:15, prime time to kill a biggin. And I'd been reading my New Testament. All at once I said, well, glory. And I remembered where I was at, and I just packed it all up and climbed down. Amen. Thank the Lord. Not ashamed. Why? Because this Bible's in me. And this Bible's in you. Cause us to not be ashamed. I remember years ago, same place, Dollywood. At that time, it might have been Silver Dollar City. Some of y'all don't even remember that. Amen. I'm fixing to tell how old me and Brother Ralph are. Amen. As a family, went down there and it hadn't been saved long. And got under one of them barbecue shacks. Got them a big sandwich, and they looked at one another. It was a man and his wife and his boy. Their boy. Looked at one another and just picked that sandwich up and started eating it. And just like Jesus set a family in to sit out on the other side of the table. Guess what they done? They bowed their head and talked to the God of heaven. That old boy come back to church. He said, I'll tell you one thing. I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. He said, we pray at home. We pray in the house of God. We pray at school. And he said, the next time, we'll pray at the barbecue shack. Amen. They were new believers. God was teaching them something. Amen. I'm telling you what's true. There are people in Kingsport that, you know I'm telling it right, go to church every Sunday. But if you was to walk up in the wrong crowd and the crowd wasn't just right, start talking about Jesus or rejoicing in the Lord, they'd be embarrassed by it. I thank my God I'm not ashamed, don't you? It has to do with the believer, the forgiveness of sin. It has to do with the burden, the load of sin. It has to do with the Bible, victory over sin. Let me give you just a couple more things tonight. It has to do with the brethren. He said, preacher, what in the world has it got to do with the brethren? It has a lot to do with the brethren. I'll show you. They're victors over sin. I'll show it to you right here. Now, listen to what Paul said. He's talking to Timothy. He said, Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Now watch this. Then he uses the word nor. He said, don't only not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, the Word of God, but he said, nor of me, his prisoner. Now wait a minute. He said, preacher, what's going on here? Let me give you something. How many believe Jesus is coming? Let me tell you something right now. I believe before he comes, the church of the living God may see some rough water. We're not going to see the great tribulation. We're not going to see the time of Jacob's trouble. That's not what I'm talking about. But I tell you, we may see a time of purging. Amen. And I'm telling you, we may see some rough water. Well, let me ask you something. What if they throw me in jail? Brother Arnold, what if they throw me in jail? There's a danger to stuff going out all over the internet, you know it? Say amen right there. Are you going to come and visit me, or would you be ashamed to be identified with me down there at the jail? Good question, isn't it? Some people are not ashamed at all as long as things going real good. Say amen. Paul was in jail. Paul wasn't in jail for stealing a car, brother. He was in jail for preaching that book. He wouldn't back up. He had a jail ministry from the inside out, Brother Wayne. It wasn't from the outside in. Amen. And all I'm saying is, listen, sometimes even families go through things. You know why they go through them? Because of their stand for Christ. And sometimes when people get to going through some rough waters, instead of the believers getting close and surrounding, amen, they kind of shy away a little bit. Don't want to be identified. I'm telling the truth, if I never move from where I'm standing. I was pastoring. I won't say where. You got a 50-50 chance of getting it right. It wasn't here. But I was pastoring, and I got up one morning, and some reason or another, God in heaven is my witness. God in heaven is my witness. Some reason or another, I just got off on the King James Bible. God's preachers are liable to do that every once in a while. Amen. And I made a statement. I said, if you don't have a King James Bible in your lap, you don't even have a Bible. You know what happened? There was a family that had a bunch of family. There was a whole bench full of non-inspired versions. Preacher didn't know it, but the God of heaven knew it. And so what happened? Instead of that family standing good and strong like they ought to, that would have been a good time to say, amen, pastor, preach it! That's what they done. And then come and say, pastor, that was an awful strong statement you made. Yeah. Them statements will stand on their own two feet. They don't even need a crutch. Amen. Some people are real proud of you as long as you're preaching what they like for you to preach. But you start going in a direction where it plows close to their corn, all of a sudden they really don't even care if they're identified with you or not. Am I telling the truth? Paul said, Timothy, I thank God for you, son. You're not ashamed of the book, but you're not ashamed of the brethren. Amen. You're not ashamed to be identified with the church of the living God. Thank the Lord tonight. Listen to this. There's a man in the Bible called Onesiphorus. Ever heard of him? Paul said it like this in 2 Timothy 1:16. He said, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. What that's talking about, Brother Arnold, if I do get down there, bring me something good that woman's cooked. Say amen. He oft refreshed me. He wasn't ashamed to be seen going in and out of the jail. Taking something to the man of God. I'm going to tell you something right now, church. We might as well get ready for it. We need to stand together. We need to stand together. Because I believe with all of my heart, God don't want us to be ashamed of Him. He don't want us to be ashamed of His book. He don't want us to be ashamed of our salvation. But thank God Almighty, Brother Houston, He don't want us to be ashamed of the brethren. I'm proud I'm part of the brethren. This is my crowd. God put me in this crowd. Amen. Thank the Lord. Not only does it have to do with the brethren, victors over sin, but it has to do with the battle as a result of sin. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, how many requests were made tonight? Cancer. Needing surgery. Had surgery. You say, preacher, well, some of them people are God's people. Yes, I know, but how many understands that suffering in this world is a result of sin? My dear brother preacher, his wife has had the back surgery, and I guess that's why I was reading about it a little bit today. Amen. But I don't know. I believe there's some people praying. God's letting me get to where I can work out a little bit. And by the grace of God, I believe I'm going to be able to overcome it. Amen. I'm just thinking if I had to be cut, that'd be nice. Say amen. That's what I was thinking. Amen. That'd be nice. The battle. He said it like this. He said, for which cause I also suffer these things. Then he said this, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I believe. I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Paul said, I'm going through some things. But Timothy, I'm not ashamed, son. I know whom I believe. I've committed my life to Him and He'll take care of it. Then he said this, yet, 1 Peter 4:16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. I don't know what some of these preachers, these TV evangelists and stuff, do with Bible verses like that. I don't know that what they do with Job. I don't know what they do with the Apostle Paul. Amen. I don't know what they do with it. When they would walk in a hospital room and say, if you had faith, you'd get up. The whole time, they're wearing glasses. I'd like to look at them and say, if you had faith, you wouldn't need glasses. Say amen. Say, you're good. You can heal them. Let's go on down here to the morgue and see how good you really are. See how many of them you can get up. Say amen. Then we'll talk. We know the one who can heal. He's still the healer. The Bible said here, it's talking about a battle. We're in a battle. As a result of sin, we're in a battle every day of our life. God said, we cannot be ashamed. We can be right in the midst of it and not be ashamed. Not be ashamed. Let me give you this tonight and I'm done. We started with no sin, right? And it's very unusual for me to have 8 things in a message. And it's even more unusual to have 8 things in a message and preach it in 35 or 40 minutes. But 8 in the Bible, Sister Jennifer, is the number of new beginning. You know where we're headed. To a new beginning. We started with no sin, not ashamed. Sin came along, ashamed. Then the Savior came along, not ashamed, and saved us. Amen? And we're not ashamed. But now look at this. It has to do with a better country. A place of no more sin. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, please. Just a moment. I'll give you a couple verses of Scripture and we'll be done. Revelation chapter number 22. The Bible said in verse number 3, "And there shall be..." Somebody read those next three words with me. Say it again. "No more curse." You see, there was a curse that came. God cursed the ground. God told the man, "By the sweat of your face you're going to eat bread." God told the woman how she's going to suffer in childbearing. Then God said, "A better country. There's going to be no more curse." Why? Because there's no more sin. Hebrews 2 and verse 11 said this. Watch this now. I'm looking at the phrase, "not ashamed." "For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Watch this. Hebrews 11, 16. "But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Now watch this. I love this. In this last part right here about a better country, God is not ashamed of his people. Watch this last verse. "And now, little children, abide in him." Watch that word "now." Right now, little children, the word of God said, "abide in him, that when he shall appear," watch this, "we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Not ashamed. We started with no sin in the garden. And we ended up, Sister Rossi, with no sin and glory. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that'll do me till Sunday. Amen. Not ashamed. Not ashamed. He's going to put us back like he made us, and even better. Amen. Because, Brother Arnold, I done read where the tempter can't get in over there. That rascal ain't getting in. And I hope this don't bug you, but this flesh ain't getting in either. Amen. That don't bug me a bit. I'm real proud of that fact. Say amen. The devil ain't going to get in. This old flesh ain't going to get in. But thank the Lord, he's going to be the light of that city. Don't Wilcox Hall in that city. No East Lawn Cemetery in that city. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Let's leave here tonight and not be ashamed to call him Savior and to call him Lord. Wherever we go, Sister Jennifer, God bless you. I guess Brother Jim will have to go back and rename all those messages, "Punching Holes in the Darkness." Is she a boxer? If you ever come in here with black eyes, brother, I'm going to know what was going on. Amen. Amen. Ain't God good tonight, church? Not ashamed, Brother Dennis. We was running around. And all of a sudden we woke up one day and we was ashamed of everything we'd done. Then Jesus come along and forgive us of that mess. Put us in the family of God. We're going home one day after a while. But now, little children, abide in him. Stay close to him. I believe, Brother Gary, if we're close to him, we won't be ashamed of him. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. I am. I'm so glad you come. You're a wonderful, wonderful looking crowd. Amen. Especially when I don't have any glasses on. Amen. Truth is, I can see good out yonder. It's this right here that my arms just got to where they wasn't long enough anymore. Amen. I appreciate you coming tonight. I'm glad the Apostle Paul was not ashamed. Regardless of what you might be going through, don't be ashamed of that burden. Brother Pritchard, this man has a real bad back. Once in a while we'll miss him, won't we, Brother Arnold? You just can't make it. Don't be ashamed of that burden you're carrying, brother. Just carry it. God trusted you with it. He knew you could handle it. You think about that for just a minute. That family we're praying for got that little baby 3 years old. God trusted them with that. Amen. You say, preacher, explain it. Are you crazy? I can't explain that. I tell you what I can do. I can believe it. I can't even hardly explain salvation by grace. But I sure can believe it. Amen. Thank the Lord tonight.